1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. The race for the White House. I'm Richard Cantu. The Biden campaign is attributing his raspy voice during last night's CNN presidential debate to him having a cold. The president and first lady stopped by an Atlanta Waffle House on their way out of town. He told reporters he thought he did well, but added,
"It's hard to debate a liar. New York Times pointed out he made lies 26 times. Big lies."
There was lots of mudslinging.
At times, the CNN presidential debate sounded like schoolyard insults.
159 presidential scholars voted him the worst president in the history of the United States of America.
Former President Trump returning fire with his own assessment of Joe Biden.
"He's the worst president in the history of our country. He's destroyed our country."
Neither man finding much common ground and blaming each other for everything from the border to fractured abortion laws to foreign wars. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
This is ABC News. Some new details of this week's murders of five people in North Las Vegas.
Police in North Las Vegas say it started as a domestic violence fight between Eric Adams and his ex-girlfriend. He got a gun and shot his ex-girlfriend's 24-year-old daughter and the daughter's 22-year-old girlfriend. Then when a neighbor came by to check on them, he was shot and killed. Adams allegedly went to that neighbor's upstairs apartment and shot the neighbor's 59-year-old grandmother, 40-year-old mother, and 13-year-old sister. Adams allegedly took his ex-girlfriend hostage, but she later escaped. Alex Stone, ABC News.
A Tesla driver in Woodland, California, found himself on an active rail line when the autopilot feature mistook it for a road. Dave Vennell at BlackRock Automotive, an expert in Tesla matters, says it's driver error, not the vehicles.
"You're still supposed to keep your hands on the wheel, right? You're supposed to be ready to take over at a moment's notice."
Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it. I got the job. I can't believe it.
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Clemens.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Friday edition of The Devil's Advocates. We're bringing sexy back, and we're rehashing the debate with our pal Joseph Pecky. Tune in, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Cloudy today with a few scattered off and on showers. Maybe an isolated thunderstorm by late this afternoon. Our high 76. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms 68. Tomorrow, sunny and breezy with a high of 84. On Sunday, sunshine with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be joined by Marquette pollster Charles Franklin. Let's talk about the dead heat here in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
There it is. Finally Friday. Welcome in. Hello, everyone. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. So glad you're making time for us on a Friday. Well, I'll tell you what, I hope you enjoyed yesterday and all the beautiful weather we enjoyed around the state of Wisconsin, because it's in the rearview mirror today, and I'm afraid we've got more shower activity on the horizon. La Crosse, you could see some showers or thunderstorms this morning, maybe before 11 o'clock. Madison area, we're going to see showers and thunderstorms probably later in the afternoon. And Milwaukee, yes, you too are going to see showers and thunderstorms. Maybe not as great a chance, but you're still in on the forecast. Daytime highs today are going to be in the upper 80s, upper 70s, low 80s. But watch out for the winds out of the south. Could gust up to 30 miles an hour. Tonight, more showers and thunderstorms are back in the forecast. But Saturday and Sunday look really nice. Stumach, our ag meteorologist, I'll let him take credit for that. He's on the way in about 15 minutes. What else do I have up my sleeve for you? We're going to talk a little bit about the grass that they use for the PGA tournaments. Little something you might not have thought about before. We are talking June Dairy Month. We are the dairy state, right? But what is the state of dairy today? Talking with an ag lender about that. And Stephanie Hoff checks in from Washington, D.C. on why July 1st is a particularly important date for production agriculture. She's got that story all on the way.
Mutual Insurance is a proud sponsor of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls. As a thank you for your support, they're giving away fair tickets. Visit ruralmutual.com/win and enter to win tickets to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to six locations: Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal.
Underneath 50 million plus acres across the nation are miles of tile quietly keeping fields in prime condition for growing crops. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And Troy Alsma, sales representative for Kartechner Brothers LLC, says that by effectively managing soil moisture and promoting healthier root systems, drain tile systems are not just tools of modern farming. They are essential contributors to ensuring that our fields remain fertile and productive.
Some of the benefits are we see drain tile. It helps control the moisture that's in the dirt profile of the soil. We're not trying to dry out the soil 100%. All we're doing is we're taking the excess moisture that the soil can't handle. And really, it preps the ground for when there is a heavy rainfall, so that that soil is able to soak up some of that excess moisture, and it gets able to, you know, go into the ground rather than running over the surface. That's creating a lot of washouts and all this eroded topsoil that essentially ends up in our rivers, the creeks, and the drainage ditches. So really having that tile in there, it helps keep your topsoil right where it's needed, right in the farm field.
And so what are you hearing from farmers about this? Is there anything that they're calling on you? Because we did have a lot of rain, then all of a sudden maybe one day of 80, then back to rain, and it's back and forth. What is that looking like? Or kind of give me their perspective.
They've said some of their farms that were always the latest farms that they've planted are now sometimes their first farms that they plant. So being able to get out there, you know, that's just a huge thing, and it's just a convenience for them. But some other benefits that you see that you can, you know, prepare for are better root health. That draining that excess water that we talked about out of the soil, it allows for oxygen to come back into the soil. And, you know, those roots, they need the oxygen and moisture to survive. But without that oxygen, they'll just drown out and be gone. And in these wet areas, you know, if you have a very wet area, your plant roots, they'll be a shallow root. They won't dig deep into the soil. With managed soil, the roots, they'll grow deeper. And then later on in the summer, as those roots are deeper, they'll be able to stay alive during those hot summer months. Also, you know, one other thing that farmers like is just being able to plant the entire field the first time. Instead of just having to plant around a problem area all the time, just coming in and getting it done in one shot is a huge thing. And during harvest, kind of same deal. If they can harvest the whole field at once and not have to worry about getting stuck in these areas and just keep the harvest process running smoothly, you know, it'll help from causing ruts in your field from the heavy equipment and compaction in your subsurface soil layer. That would be, you know, one of the biggest things is keeping that compaction out.
So when it comes to actually installing these drainage tiles then for the farmers, can you share maybe any specific strategies or techniques or anything to make sure that they have the optimal layout and placement to make sure that it is being the most effective it can be?
Yeah, I would say the best strategy is to contact a professional installer. They're going to be able to look at your soil type. There's a lot of different types of pipe, you know, different holes in the pipe that is used for different soil types. And we'll be able to use that information that we know about to determine what type of spacing you're going to need and what type of tile, basically, you're going to be installing in that field. You know, also setting the field up for future drainage, you know, that's a big thing. If you're going to hopefully, you know, pattern tile this field or, you know, add to it in the future, you know, some guys have a neighbor come in with a tractor plow and it's cheap. They put a couple lines in here, there. But a long-term goal, that's not always going to be your most efficient way to do it, and you're not going to see that yield increase like you would on an actual pattern tiling job. And, you know, setting that field up to, in the future, be able to get it the way you want it, that's a big factor that you need to think about. What we like to do is we like to look at the field's history, and we'll go over the past few decades and determine, you know, where the problem areas are, and especially talking to the farmer and having them explain it, because they're the ones that have been working it, you know, normally for those decades themselves. But then we will look at the topography of the entire farm and determine the best layout for the tile lines to receive the optimum drainage.
When it comes to the investment, then, obviously that's a long-term investment, but it's going to save you in the long run as well. So can you maybe talk about the cost savings or return on investment that farmers can expect by having these?
You know, tiling, it's an investment that it's not going to lose money. You know, it's going to be there. Once it's actually installed, there's not a lot of maintenance and, you know, money that you have to stick back into it. Most of these farmers, they're trying to get the most out of the land that they already have. You know, most tiling investments will be paid back in under 5 years. It depends on the conditions. There's a lot that goes into those factors as well. But, you know, yields as well, too. There's an average of about, you know, a 20% yield increase. And, well, if you're in an area that gets completely flooded every year, you know, that's going to be a 100% yield increase in that area.
In addition to that drainage tile, is there any maybe other practices that you recommend to help manage these conditions or any other best practices to make sure that it is remaining effective long run?
One big thing is, you know, knowing when your field is ready to be worked. If you shouldn't be out there, you know, that you're going to create a problem for yourself in the future. If you're going to go out there when it's too wet, you know, we're going to be rutting up the field, causing compaction. And the more compaction you have, the more drainage you lose. You know, when the farm is too wet to go in, it's a big thing. But also, you know, a lot of water management can be done with some surface grading with like a GPS controlled bulldozer, and we will do a lot of that too, just to grade the field out to where the water really wants to go.
And what advice would you give to farmers moving forward this year?
I would say, as far as advice goes, you know, look at the big picture. Look at your farms and where you've been struggling, and see, you know, would it be a huge benefit to get these problem areas fixed? you know, and having them fixed, especially, you know, not waiting for a flood event to think about fixing them. If most farmers know that these areas are a problem. So it's nice to get that taken care of beforehand. You know, just like the roof on your house, you don't let a leak come into your house before you fix it. You try and be preventative about it and get it fixed beforehand, because sometimes it's not too late, but you end up causing, you know, more problems rather than just trying to fix it immediately.
Are there any best practices then for maintaining and just managing that tile system to make sure it is remaining effective in the long run?
Yeah, the biggest thing with that is ditch maintenance. Each tile has to, you know, outlet into a ditch at some point, and maintenance on these ditches often gets forgotten about. And if ditches aren't properly maintained, the tile, it will not work to its full potential. So keeping good drainage in those ditches and keeping these invasive trees from growing up is very important. And also, as far as a tile standpoint, keeping trees away from the tile lines is very important. Tree roots, they love the water source in tile, and they will grow into your tile, and the root growth will just explode. It'll fill that tile with roots, and it'll plug it in a quick hurry. Just like in town, you know, septic systems, they have the same exact issues, but it's very evident in a farm field, especially, you know, along these fence lines and along the ditches.
That was Troy Alsma, sales representative for Kartichner Brothers LLC, along with us. He added that the golden rule for using these is to drain just enough water for crop growth, but not a drop more. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A 2023 decision in an Arkansas redistricting case found individual voters did not have a private right of action to challenge the maps. The state of Louisiana tried the same tactic in its chaotic gerrymandering case, but was refused on June 24th. It appears to be the latest legal strategy to dismantle the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Defying precedent, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals held in a 2023 Arkansas racial gerrymandering case that individual voters do not have a private right of action under the VRA Section 2. It said only the U.S. Justice Department could bring such cases, despite individuals having filed 90% of previous challenges. Calling it radical, scholars expected it to be quickly overturned, but this January, the full Eighth Circuit refused to rehear the case. Seeing an opening, Louisiana asked the full Fifth Circuit to rehear its gerrymandering case on the same grounds, with 13 other Republican attorneys general urging a no private right of action decision. In a close vote Monday, the Fifth Circuit refused that rehearing. For now, the Eighth Circuit decision still only affects Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. But it's clear that private right of action is the new battleground and will almost certainly reach the U.S. Supreme Court. We've linked to more on the private right of action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mino and the mayor.
Would it be improper for me to be at the farmer's market in my biker shorts tonight?
Depends.
Because people can wear biker shorts in public.
Sure.
Okay.
Of course you can.
So,
are you comfortable with that?
I am.
Really?
Yeah, I got those good thighs. Sometimes they need
to
be released.
You don't worry about, you know.
Unleash the thighs. I've had people tell me that.
Mino and the mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Christian and Dennis are in to give us the weekend what's up in Northeast Wisconsin.
And we'll feature live music from the City Deck Landing Studios with Neo.
Join us.
Mino and the mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
To make it their goal, too. So for you folks that are going to be hitting the links this weekend, maybe you did it yesterday, maybe today, depending on the weather, I want you to take a look at that turf you're standing on. If you're a real golf enthusiast, maybe you've been watching the PGA circuit. You know, the U.S. Open happened just a little time ago in North Carolina. And what you may not realize is Pinehurst Resort and Country Club, where the U.S. Open took place, has a very special turf and a very special staff. Darren Bavard is the director of championship agronomy for the U.S. Golf Association, and he is the one that oversaw the turf specifically at Pinehurst.
First of all, it thrives in the heat down here, you know, especially today. You know, if you've been outside, it's 90-plus degrees out there. If we had cool season grasses, we would have to apply a lot more water and that type of stuff to keep it healthy because, you know, we're a guest here for a week. And Pinehurst is a great partner, so we want to make sure when we leave that they have the things that they need to continue with their business. But really, it gives us a little more flexibility in what we can do with, look, you still have to worry about turf health and stress, but it's not as much as if we were on a bent grass surface.
So did you get that? He actually traveled to Pinehurst in advance, brought in Ultra Dwarf Bermuda grass to intercede with Pinehurst so that they could go forward with the U.S. Open. That fellow's name, Darren Bavard. He is, now dig this, Stu, he is the director of championship agronomy with the U.S. Golf Association. Now that's a title I can get my arms around. Holy.
Yeah. You and I would have to do a lot more studying before we thought about it.
Oh, yeah, but I'm thinking about your brother from another mother. He could come up with something for that. But who knew? Who knew that the PGA's got a director of agronomy? So, and he talking about the heat. And, you know, it's true. Our grasses in Wisconsin got to react to everything from being able to snorkel to, you know, bone dry in 90.
Yeah, and windy days that happen in the summer. Not that we're going to be all that windy. It gets a little bit breezy today, but we have more of that rain and low pressure is out west of Minnesota this morning. And there are showers spreading all the way from northern Minnesota through the eastern part of the state into western and now even south central Wisconsin. Eau Claire's at 0.05 of an inch, La Crosse 0.02 of an inch, some sprinkles elsewhere. So the rain is starting to edge on in. It'll be in the Madison area by Pam here shortly. And I expect that rain will cross through the state. Not a major storm today, but there could be a thunderstorm or two later today or tonight. We will dry it out. It also does cool a bit here as we head toward the end of the weekend. I'll look at that forecast right after
Around
this.
The clock, your dairy cows rely on you. And when you need support, Compeer Financial is here. Here with cutting-edge ag finance technology, industry knowledge, and local experience to help your farm thrive. As avid supporters of the dairy industry, we tip our hats to you during June Dairy Month and every other month of the year. Contact us at 844-426-6733 or visit Compeer.com today. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
All right, buddy. Got to tie a knot and hang on today because the weekend otherwise looks good.
Looking like it will improve. You're right. Today, more cloudy skies and, of course, showers spreading from west to east. There may be some afternoon thunderstorms. Temps in the low and mid-70s, not all that hot. South winds 5 to 15. We may see gusts up to 25. Still, that rain chance in the night, it should end from west to east late tonight or just into very early Saturday. Total rainfall still only quarter to half inch, mid-60s overnight. Some sunshine breaks through later tomorrow. Upper 70s or even a low 80, a warm start to the weekend. And by Sunday, sunshine, low 70s, Pam. The air conditioning's kicked in. The north winds Sunday 5 to 10. But then late Monday night or Tuesday, the next chance of rain.
What do you think? 4th of July, 50-50 odds of being decent?
Yeah, time that out with that Tuesday. Tuesday night gives us a break. There could be something yet going into 4th of July. We'll watch it early next week and figure it out.
So at least enjoy Saturday and Sunday. Don't worry about
and
it.
Sunday's going to be a red letter day in the low 70s and sunny. I'm excited.
Yeah. All right. Good deal. Thanks, buddy. We'll catch up with you on Monday. Have a good one.
All right. See you. Take care.
Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, ending it on a high note as far as weather is concerned for this week. So maybe that story about PGA golf and the turf. Now when you're out there on the links, think of the old farm, babe, all right? That dude from agronomy with the PGA. All right, we've got more stories just like that on the way. Thanks for joining us on a Friday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Photographs, paperwork, and stories about the LGBTQ plus movement in our state now being collected for the Wisconsin First Archive Project. It's a new effort to preserve and celebrate the history and national legacy of Wisconsin as the first state to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation. Organizers say providing this history in one place will improve awareness and keep these memories alive. The effort is being led by Our Lives Media, a Madison-based nonprofit, which will offer a free online archive. It's a proud moment during this Pride Month to remember the fight for equal rights includes equality for all. I'm Terry Barr.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Matt Mayer on air.
It is Wisconsin. We need to have some kind of presidential debate drinking game. What is the cue?
Is it rigged? Is it?
Come on, man. Malarkey, though.
I think
malarkey is like a 5-point word.
Yeah, that's the one ring to rule them all. That is the one you want to get. I feel like he will switch some voters if he does malarkey because it's just so darn charming.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. The race for the White House. I'm Richard Cantu. The Biden campaign is attributing his raspy voice during last night's CNN presidential debate to him having a cold. The president and first lady stopped by an Atlanta Waffle House on their way out of town. He told reporters he thought he did well, but added,
"It's hard to debate a liar. New York Times pointed out he made lie 26 times. Big lies."
There was lots of mudslinging.
At times, the CNN presidential debate sounded like schoolyard insults.
159 presidential scholars voted him the worst president in the history of the United States of America.
Former President Trump returning fire with his own assessment of Joe Biden.
He's the worst president in the history of our country. He's destroyed our country.
Neither man finding much common ground and blaming each other for everything from the border to fractured abortion laws to foreign wars. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Another attempt to recall State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss comes up short. The Wisconsin Elections Commission ruled Thursday the recall petitioners failed to turn in enough valid signatures. Three Republican commissioners and one Democrat voted that hundreds of signatures were gathered after the deadline. Outreach specialists are trying to recruit the next generation of Hmong farmers in Wisconsin. Many Hmong farmers are getting close to retirement age and their grown children have different ideas about farming.
Older Hmong farmers, farming is therapeutic for them. They're making a little bit of money, but also farming and gardening makes them happy. The difference is that these younger farmers, they want farming to be financially sustainable.
Ya'imwa Yang is with the Groundswell Conservancy. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Bucks add a big man to the roster. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks had plenty of offers to give up their spot in the second round of the NBA draft, but GM John Horst went ahead and picked 19-year-old Tyler Smith of Houston, a 6'11" forward who spent the past year competing in the G League.
I mean, during the first five games, we played overseas teams, so I mean, that was kind of hard. They're super aggressive, so I feel like that helped me by the time we played our first G League game. I had 22 points in my first G League game, so I mean, I feel like that prepared me.
Football, a federal jury has found the NFL overcharged TV customers for the Sunday ticket package and has ordered the league to pay a settlement of nearly $4 billion. The league will appeal. Baseball, Brewers and the Cubs tonight in Milwaukee. Pat Murphy asked about fans' reaction to roster changes.
The backup shortstop, backup third base.
Right? I think our fans, don't run down our fans. You know, I don't think that's fair.
I'm just telling you what I see on Twitter all the time.
All right, well, I don't look at Twizzler. Anyway.
Twizzler, that's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area. And then we talk all things entertainment with OnMilwaukee.com's Matt Miller. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy today with a few scattered off and on showers. Maybe an isolated thunderstorm by late this afternoon. Our high 76. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms 68. Tomorrow, sunny and breezy with a high of 84. On Sunday, sunshine with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. A lot of financial chatter is focused on the stock market. Is it up? Is it down? Is it a bull market? Is it a bear market? The Dow just hit a record high. But how much should people like me and you really care about these daily updates? The answer? Not very much. Most of those daily highs and lows come from small-scale events that just don't mean that much to the broader U.S. economy. And the stock market is not the economy. For most of us, long-term growth is what really matters for retirement. Now, if you are one of the richest 10% of Americans who own 93% of all the stock, you can ignore this message. But for the rest of us, we're going to get more done by keeping an eye on our spending and savings than we are by paying attention to Wall Street. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, take good care.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103.
Yes.
Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Fella Devan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner.
Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Little Sheryl Crow to keep us rolling on a Friday. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Hey, on the way, today is kind of the last day of June Dairy Month celebrations. I mean, we've got the weekend, but my point is we're rolling into county fair season. So we all like to talk about Wisconsin being America's dairy land. We are the dairy state. But what is the state of dairy? How are our dairy farm families doing out there facing the weather challenges that we've seen, commodity prices, all that? We're going to talk about it with an ag lender before we wrap it up on a Friday. Weather-wise, you heard, it's going to be an interesting day today. Daytime highs, probably not much better than the upper 70s. We do have rain in the forecast today and tonight, but Saturday and Sunday, they look pretty doggone good. So today is the 28th day of June. What can I tell you? Kind of interesting. On this day back in 1865, Viroqua recorded one of the earliest tornadoes on Wisconsin record. Killed 22 people, injured another 100. So, you know, again, when you stop and think about technology and keeping track of things, one of the earliest tornadoes recorded in Wisconsin on this day back in 1865. This day in 1846, the saxophone was patented. Belgian musician Adolf Sax developed the woodwind instrument, typically made of brass, and in recent decades, it's been a big influence in the sound of jazz, military band, rock, and pop music genres. The saxophone, patented on this day in 1846. Happy birthday to Kathy Bates, 76 years young. And wow, Mel Brooks, 98 years young on this date. Way to go. Well, like I said, we're turning the calendar, moving from June Dairy Month into county fair season for us here in the farm department. Stephanie Hoff joins us this morning from Washington, D.C., telling us a story about why July 1st is important. Stephanie?
Danny Much along with us. He's an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation. He says July 1st is an important date for dairy farmers as they wait for the next step in milk pricing reform.
Yeah, so July 1st, USDA will have to put out a recommended decision on the federal order hearing process. A little bit of background on that. The federal order hearing process is basically the amendment process that USDA uses to update the federal milk marketing order pricing regulations that set minimum pricing that farmers receive across the United States. They also, you know, ultimately dictate how farmers are going to be paid in each of those industries, their milk checks and things of that nature. So this process started in last August, and when the hearing started, it kind of dragged on over several months, ended January 30th. And we submitted post-hearing briefs, which was basically a formal document that went over all of our final conclusionary remarks from everything that we testified on in the hearing process. Those were due April 1st. USDA then had 90 days to submit a recommended decision. So that brings us to July 1st, and a decision from USDA is expected. It might take a couple of days for USDA to get that up on the Federal Register public, but we're hoping to have something next week out of USDA.
Yeah, the hearing process, I mean, that lasted like 50 days. Wisconsin was involved in that conversation. Are Wisconsin farmers going to be involved once the USDA does release their recommendation?
Yeah, so once a recommended decision comes out, stakeholders across the industry then have 60 days statutorily, so that's a requirement in the legislation, to submit comments on the Federal Register. So anyone can submit comments to the Federal Register. This can include dairy farmers, Wisconsin Farm Bureau, American Farm Bureau will submit comments, basically dependent on what USDA puts out in that recommended decision. If there are things consistent with our policy, we will obviously support those, and if there are things inconsistent, we hope that we will suggest USDA update those in a final rule. So they'll have 60 days to comment. Then USDA will have another 60 days to put out a final rule. And at this point, it'll be posted on the Federal Register and final. That brings us to about 120 days, so 4 months until a final rule comes out. And then after that happens, a referendum will be set up by USDA for dairy farmers to vote on whether or not to accept or reject that those final rule recommendations.
But a lot of questions come in then after that four-month period on who votes.
Right. So statutory requirements, they'll come out in 4 months for the final rule, but there's no statutory requirements of dates on when a referendum will occur. And with the election, with other things going on in the broader economy, we're not exactly sure how USDA will prioritize a referendum and how quickly they will get out the rules and regulations around a referendum. We do know that, you know, cooperatives can block vote on behalf of their members. So if you want to vote separately than your co-op, you might not have the opportunity to do so. One of the things that Farm Bureau supports is modified block voting, which would, make for cooperatives tell their members how they intend to vote and then give them the opportunity to vote on their own confidentially. So that would give them a little bit more of a voice in the process. We're also not sure how USDA is going to regulate the voting beyond that. Like, are they going to allow folks with depooled milk in that month to vote in the order? We've heard rumors that they may or may not. We also don't really know the timing. Even if they're in an order, if those changes get accepted and voted positively in a referendum, we're not sure how long USDA is going to take to implement those. And then also another important aspect is if farmers vote no in an order, it means the order will dissolve. So there's also some issues there that, you know, we hope that orders don't get voted out, but depending on what comes out in this final rule will dictate the ultimate outcome.
During the hearing process, that covered all the different federal milk marketing order regions across the nation. There are several, and some cooperatives cross several regions as well. How does the regionality of it play into the vote?
Yeah, absolutely. So regionality is extremely important. All 11 orders will vote on whether or not to accept or reject the changes. But depending on what each one of those do, you might have one disappear and one stay. And we know that, you know, cooperatives, processors, they cross boundaries between these orders. They have members and suppliers and farmers in all these different regions. So depending on what order you're in, a cooperative's block vote may have more of a force in your region than others. Independent processors and farmers voting on their own to represent that milk volume will have more of a power in some than others as well. So it really depends on where you're located and how big your cooperative might be, whether or not the voting dynamics.
So despite a date where we know we're going to hear from USDA, there are still a lot of unknowns. And that leads me to ask, how do people stay up to date on such a complicated issue?
USDA has a federal milk marketing order page on their website that you can look up on Google or any other browser. You can also keep in touch with your, you know, Farm Bureau representatives or any folks involved in policy, sometimes your cooperatives as well, and they'll be keeping abreast of all these policy issues. For folks interested in commenting on the Federal Register, going online, looking up Federal Register and federal milk marketing orders, but just keeping engaged and making sure that your voice remains heard in this process. This sets minimum pricing that you are paid out to across the board. Generally, most folks receive the federal order minimum pricing that are set by these are impacting your bottom lines each and every day, so you want to make sure your voice is part of the process.
We're here with Danny Much. He's an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation. July 1st is the day that USDA will come out with a verdict on the next steps for milk pricing reform. From the American Farm Bureau offices in Washington, D.C., I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Our traveling Stephanie Hoff. She'll be back in the office next week. Thanks for that, Stephanie. Markets and overnight electronic trader holding firm. The barrel cheese yesterday dropped 2 cents to 188. 40-pound block cheese was up 3 at 191. The AA butter, that gained another penny and 3/4. Folks, we've got butter at 310 and 3/4 per pound in Chicago. Not at the grocery store yet. In overnight electronic trade, the July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, unchanged at $19.56. The August Class 3 milk, that's down 4 right now, 20.20 a hundredweight. The new crop corn this morning, up 2 at 435.5. November new crop beans are up 7.5 right now, 11.12. And the July new crop wheat, well, that's down 2. $5.57 a bushel. Like I said, we pride ourselves on being America's Dairyland, right? We're all about being the dairy state. But what is the state of dairy? You heard Stephanie talking about how farmers are waiting for price updates on what they'll be paid for their milk. That's a tough business model to work through. Talking about it next with an ag lender, courtesy of our friends from Compeer.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Where the fans own the team.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW. And on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
This broad reaching, well, we can't help people because we can't control how they spend the money, somehow magically doesn't apply to billionaires, doesn't apply to corporations who dodge their taxes every year. The only people who are subject to the conservative morality police are poor people. How dare you?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's Friday, so I welcome host of Max Inc. Radio and Live in the Lair, Terry Bauer, who always brings great music and conversation, and we'll discuss the legacy of Mel Brooks.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
And all month long with June Dairy events. But what about the farms that are making that happen in the state of Wisconsin? How's their pocketbook looking? What kinds of things are on their mind? I talked about it with Bill Opright. He's one of the senior dairy lenders with Compure Financial. And instead of put the emphasis on the negative, I said to Bill, let's try to find the positive going forward for Wisconsin's dairy industry. Like milk production. Milk production in Wisconsin has been up maybe 1%, but Bill, nationwide, milk production's been flat at best, right?
You got that right, Pam. Nationwide production's pretty flat, and that's one of the reasons why basis is being paid. There is some competition out there for milk. There is some demand for it. Exports have been good to Mexico. China maybe hasn't been buying as much from us. Another reason for that, why milk production is maybe a little flat, we're seeing a lot of more of these beef cross calves be born and heifer inventories being fairly tight. These beef cross calves are worth quite a bit of money right now, near record highs. Cull cows are also worth quite a bit of money right now. And if you do happen to have a few extra fresh cows that are available for sale, those prices have been $2,500 to $3,500, depending on quality and where they're going. All helping the bottom line with class three prices being a little bit suppressed here early in 2024.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're just, you know, you talk about class three milk, which largely goes into cheese. That's also still a big question mark. We don't know what's going to happen with all the summer heat and where milk's going to end up getting moved to, huh, Bill?
Absolutely, and there's some additional production here coming online and later in 2024, and we're not 100% sure how that's going to affect markets here in the upper Midwest. Most of that production is outside of the upper Midwest. So that's one unknown here we're heading into later here in 2024.
Bill Opright's along with us. He's one of the senior dairy lending specialists with Compure Financial. Yes, it is June Dairy Month, and we'll continue to celebrate that. But there are some challenges that you need to be aware of about our dairy industry. Let's talk about the expense side, Bill. We highlighted that those heifer prices, those baby calves, those cull prices are pretty strong. What are you seeing as far as the expense side, feed, other items? Now we're managing for heat.
Yep. So expenses remain elevated due to inflation. Seems to be anything that's tied to labor, whether that be on the repair side or supply side or any of the things you buy that are that need trucking, need whatever, are still elevated. We see feed prices coming down a little bit, which is very helpful to dairy producers because that's one of their main expenses. But overall, expenses are still high and inflation's the big driver there.
Well, we all know about the labor situation. That's every individual farm can have a different setup there. You know, one thing that I haven't talked a lot about with folks this year so much, Bill, is land. You know, land is what dairy needs. It's about manure management. It's obviously about growing crops, and that has an impact on the dairy industry. What are you hearing about land prices, or maybe in Wisconsin, it's land availability for those dairies?
Yeah, absolutely. Land price has been near highs or all-time highs here. We're still trending up or flat here to the last couple of years. It's getting to be control of that land is more and more important to a lot of these dairy producers. With some of the other investment areas like solar and wind and different things like that competing for the market, that seemed to drive up land prices a little bit here too. So yeah, definitely land prices still going up. We thought interest rates would maybe have a little more effect on that, but that does not seem to be the case here so far in 2024.
Yeah. What do you think about those interest rates, Bill? Not that that necessarily impacts or influences a lot of decisions on the farm. If we need something, we kind of have to go get it. But what's your gut telling you about interest rates that may ultimately impact land values or may ultimately impact some of those big capital purchases later this year?
Yeah, it feels like interest rates are going to stay higher for longer here. And from some of the information coming out from the Fed and consumer price index and different things that way, we've maybe seen a slight slowdown in inflation, but it's not anywhere close to their trend or their benchmark of 2%. We're still in the mid threes, depending on which index you're looking at. The Fed's kind of came out here over the last month and said we're looking at keeping rates higher for longer. So that'd be your variables, your short-term products here. Possibly some pullbacks here maybe later in the year, but that's pretty much a question mark at this point. They are projecting some pullbacks here in 2025, but again, the economic data is going to determine where that goes.
Yeah, and it doesn't help our bottom line in 2024.
Absolutely not.
A wing and a prayer. Yeah, again, if you're just joining us, Bill Oprite's along with us. He's a senior dairy lending specialist with Compure Financial. I will always point you to their website if there's something you want to do a deeper dive on or connect with people like Bill. Just go to compure.com, and they'll be glad to help you out. All right, so we've touched on a lot of different things, Bill. Cost of operations, availability of some of the things that we need, like feed, labor, then taking a look at just the overall uncertainty as far as prices. So how are you coaching up your clients to try to manage through this risk? I mean, let's face it, some of them still are trying to eyeball crops. Did they get all their acres planted for all the feed they're going to need? Like you said, labor. How are you trying to get them to manage through some of these risk management decisions? Give me a little coaching.
Yeah, so I like to look at the last 6 months, fam. So you look back at the first quarter and first half of 2024, we saw some $15, $16 class three prices. There's some opportunity in front of us here for the next 6 months and even into 2025 where we can set some floors at $19, $18, which is at or above a lot of cost of productions here. It's use those risk management tools. It's DMC, it's DRP, it's LGM dairy. On the beef cattle side, if you're feeding out some steers or doing some different things that way, LRP is a great option for you too, because those prices are also at all-time highs. Let's take advantage of these risk management tools. Let's secure some income. On the flip side, we got to be thinking about margin, right? So let's control the expenses we can control also. Feed costs, fuel costs. Let's be reaching out to our suppliers, see what they can do for us and what options we have on the table. If we can secure a margin, let's take advantage of that here, because 2024, if 2025 is like 2024, we're in for a roller coaster.
I sincerely hope not, Bill, but you're probably right. Dairy is used to being on a roller coaster. Bill Oprite along with us this morning, senior dairy lender with Compure Financial, focusing in on what dairy producers, our dairy farm families across the state, are faced with when it comes to the economic challenges of just keeping the cows fed, the cows milked, and you and I with dairy on the table. You want to find out more about some of the resources available through Compure Financial? Easy enough to do. Pop on over to their website, compure.com. That'll do it for a Finally Friday from the Midwest Farm Report. You all have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Say you never give in to a meltdown. And never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it. And never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, no, it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How a former dairy farm became an organic farm and flour mill. Today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
John and Haley Wepking moved back to John's family farm in Wisconsin after working in a New York City restaurant. They later partnered with a former dairy farmer from Ridgeway, Wisconsin, who John says had converted to organic crops.
You can grow, and a lot of our neighbors grow, corn and soybeans very successfully there, but we felt like the best way that we could be stewards of the land we farm is to inject a lot of diversity, and the best way that we thought of to do that was to start value-adding more diverse grains.
Wepking says Meadowlark Farm and Mill keeps that value close to home.
We employ local people. Our supply chain is remarkably tight, obviously, but the percentage of the dollars that come from the value of the crops that we raise, you know, you can't keep those dollars in the local community much better and more efficiently than we do.
Wepking says the model has worked well for them.
We were very lucky to find a very unique path into a farm that we have stake in. And it's increasingly a challenge to figure out how we can take that path and leverage it and use it as a model for other people in other farming situations. And we don't have the answers, obviously, but it's one of the hugest issues I think we face in agriculture right now.
You can learn more at meadowlarkorganics.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we take a look back at the presidential debate. Also bring you an update on EVs, what it means for Pete Buttigieg, and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Rock Fest, Summer Fest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A rest.